Okay, welcome back to 2S, the Horror Quarters podcast. I want to thank you all who watched the Dennis Hurst, Cielo Drive's Final Witness interview documentary that we did earlier this year. Appreciate the comments, likes, subscribes. If you have not checked it out, please give it a watch. Dennis Hurst delivered Abigail Folger's bicycle to her at 10050 Cielo Drive on the evening of the murders. Today we are visiting another murder that occurred in Southern California, this in San Diego County. This is the murder of Kara Knott on December 27th, 1986. Of course, Kara was murdered by California Highway Patrolman Craig Pyre. And the events as reported that unfolded that night are as follows. Kara was at her boyfriend's, Wayne Bautista's house up in Escondido that evening. Actually, she had been there, I think, for a couple of days. Wayne was sick, so she was there caring for him. On December 27th, at approximately 8 o'clock, Kara made a phone call home stating that she was on her way home and the drive is about 45 minutes. I did see a report by a California Highway Patrolman that said the call to Kara's home was made at 9 p.m., but other reports say 8 p.m. I just want to put that out there, full transparency. When Kara did not arrive home at approximately 9:45, Kara's father, Sam, and the rest of his family went out and looked for her on various off-ramps that would have been in her path. They could not find her, and they did not find her that night. The search continued the next morning very early. Kara's sister and her husband exited the Mercy Road off-ramp and drove a little bit further down, leading up to a cul-de-sac that went nowhere, and there was Kara's 1968 white Volkswagen Beetle. Driver's side window was rolled down. Keys were in the ignition, but no Kara. Authorities were called. Police scoured the area. There is various news footage of that.
Approximately 590 yards away, heading north, was the Los Peñasquitos Creek Arch Bridge, or the old Highway 395 bridge. As police scoured the area, walking from the top of the bridge and looking down, Kara Knott's body was discovered there, some 65 to 70 feet below.
The old Highway 395 bridge sits underneath and over from the 15 freeway. It is hidden from the freeway unless you get off of the 15 and look down. It was deserted back then, and it is still deserted now. When we went up there, there were people there. There were people hiking, there were families riding bikes. So it's still an active area during the day. At night, though, it is extremely dark and it is referred to as the tombs. Kara did stop at a Chevron off of Via Rancho Parkway, filled up, and then continued southbound. When searching the vehicle, they found her keys. They found a receipt from that Chevron giving them a time stamp of when she filled up. When investigating the Chevron, they questioned a few of the employees there. They do remember her there alone, and there was one report that there was a highway patrolman vehicle there as well.
Here's a Google Earth shot showing you the distance between the Chevron that Kara stopped at, which was off of Via Rancho Parkway, and heading south approximately 8.8 to 8.9 miles, exiting Mercy Road into the bridge area there as the crow flies. Here is the Chevron station as it stands today. It looks somewhat the same outside of the renovations it's had over the years. But this is it here. You can just kind of gauge and picture Kara pulling up to this gas station by herself at night, fueling up and exiting. Here is the turn. This would have been the route that Kara, with Pyre behind her, drove to the spot where her car was eventually found. Just take a look at the distance here. It is approximately 1,100 feet from Scripps Poway Parkway to the point where Kara's vehicle was found. It's a long drive. and here you can see everything around you. But just picture it at night. This was extremely bizarre behavior by Pyre to have Kara and anyone else that he had pulled over drive down this long, desolate road to a cul-de-sac that pretty much went nowhere. There was a person of interest that investigators noticed at Kara's funeral. He was a close family friend who was, according to investigators, overly distraught. This individual also was spotted roaming around the bridge. Once they took a look at this guy, it turned out he was just distraught about Kara's death because he was so close to her.
So about a week passed and there were no leads in the investigation. There was a TV special on the news called Crime Stoppers that aired an episode covering this case. They did a few reenactments and described Kara's whereabouts. On this Crime Stoppers episode was California Highway Patrolman Craig Pyre, who was giving tips, safety tips, on what to do and what not to do if pulled over or broken down on the freeway.
Anything could happen. Being a female, you could be raped, robbed if you're a male. All the way to where you could be killed. Once you get in that other person's car, you're at their mercy.
Some 300 tips came in off of this Crime Stoppers episode, and of that, approximately 30 women called in recognizing Craig Pyer and said that they were pulled over by him and forced to go down Mercy Road, where he approached the vehicle and sat in their passenger seat and had strange and awkward conversations before letting them go. So this put a red flag on Craig Pyer. He was investigated by authorities, and they started to figure some things out. Looking at his logbooks that night at approximately 9:30 p.m., which is when investigators think Kara was murdered, Craig had a log entry that was erased and written over. Still not enough to arrest him or anything like that. Another thing was the skid marks on the bridge were 53 inches apart. They were either acceleration skid marks or stopping skid marks. On Craig Pyer's highway patrol car, the distance between the wheels are 53 inches. Exactly. In Craig's trunk was a yellow rope measuring 7/16 of an inch. The autopsy showed that there was no sexual abuse to Kara, but she had ligature marks across her neck. Those measured 7/16 of an inch. She had a very large bruise on her forehead as well as one on her cheek. This is consistent with the flashlight that Craig Pyer had on duty. So prosecutors and investigators have theorized that that is the area, that is the location that Craig spotted Kara, followed her southbound, and pulled her over at Mercy Road. Now, Mercy Road, in this particular area underneath the overpass, is very secluded. And it would make sense that if you were going to do something you didn't want anyone to see, this would be the area to do so. For this investigation, Craig willingly turned in his uniform that he was wearing that night. And from that, investigators found a match to a fiber on Kara's body, a gold fiber, to a gold fiber that came off of one of Craig's patches. Now, this was pretty precise how they did it. It wasn't just gold. It was a pigment, a gold pigment, not a gold dye. And apparently, pigments were a very old process at the time, and this helped with the consistency of the two fibers being matches. Purple fibers were found on Craig Pyer's gun and work boots. Those purple fibers came back as an exact match to the purple fibers on Kara's sweatpants. There was also a tiny drop of blood on Kara's boot. That blood type was AB. Craig Pyer's blood type is also AB. Back then, the DNA process was nowhere near what it is today, so it was not matched genetically to Craig at that time. In one of the morning briefings, one of the fellow officers joked to Craig Pyer that he was the killer. Craig acted extremely awkward and turned pale and got extremely nervous, according to reports.
On the day of Kara Knott's funeral, Craig Pyer was down at the bridge, and he called in San Diego PD to meet him there because there were two men there in some type of off-road truck. And at first it seemed like Craig was going to detain them, but it turns out he didn't. So when PD arrived, it was Sergeant Joe Fleming who spoke with Craig, and turns out he just had questions about the Knott case. According to Sergeant Fleming, Craig Pyer said that he heard Kara had an earlobe in her mouth when they found her. He actually joked around that he's got both of his earlobes, which was a strange thing to say. Sergeant Fleming said the body was thrown over one side of the bridge, and Craig Pyer said no, she was actually thrown off the other side of the bridge, which again was an extremely strange thing to say. He eventually stormed off and sped away without detaining anyone. Another red flag to investigators was the fact that Craig Pyer took his uniform to get dry cleaned. Now, keep in mind, all of the highway patrolmen in that particular area took their clothes to the same cleaner. Craig took his there and asked that his uniform be spot checked for blood.
21 days after Kara's murder, Craig was arrested. The first trial was a hung jury. The second one, he was convicted to 25 years to life.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining me on another true crime episode. I appreciate it as always. I appreciate the likes, subscribes, and comments. And stay tuned for more episodes like this. Thank you.